Hey, flight fans. GM, as always, Dwayne here. My pronouns are he and him. This episode of Flight Risk stars...
I'm Joe Chasm. My pronouns are he, him. And I play Bail Branda, a Mandalorian bounty hunter with a subclass of assassin.
Hello, my name is Velvet Divine, Faye Fair, and I'll be playing Anarchy Fortuna, she, her, the Twi'lek Tinkerer.
My name is Jennifer, or the Jen, and I play Anne Vray, a Twi'lek diplomat.
Let's buckle up. It's time for another Flight Risk episode.
A long, long, long time ago. In a galaxy far, far away.
The trio of Anne, Bail, and Anarchy find themselves in a Pulsar quest in search of parts to repair the damaged Starhawk. With no response from the cruise ship, the trio must decide, do they find a way to help the crew and passengers, or do they find a way to save themselves?
Sure. So as you guys kind of go out onto that Lido deck, are you trying to head straight for the elevator or the stairs? Are you gonna look for people? What are you guys doing?
Don't split the party. Don't split the party. God, Joe, rule number one of playing any tabletop RPG, don't fucking split the party. Should we split up?
No.
Saying that.
That is a terrible plan. Ever. I don't want to find any of those one of us at a time, because there's three of us, which means someone would have to be alone. And that seems like an unwise decision.
You know,
it sounds like we just may have to take the slower route of going together.
Yeah, no. Well, it wouldn't be streetwise. Survival? No. Okay, never mind. Yeah, we're just going to search around. Bail sure. Just kind of looks over and like, well, I think our first priority would be to see if there's any survivors. Maybe they can give us a little bit more insight as to what happened here. And if we can't find anybody alive, well, then we just take the stuff and loot the ship, take what we need, and get out of here, and then report it later, I guess, once we're in some sort of a area where we can send out some sort of an SOS.
Sure. Can I get a hard perception check from everybody?
I knew that was coming.
Against your perception.
Oh, boy.
Dwayne, I'm so glad at perceiving things. No, I'm not. I'm super not. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Anne saw something coming.
Those other things don't seem good, though. What is that?
Sure. If you pass your mouse over your roll, Anne, it's going to tell you what you did.
Oh.
So it'll say, like, for, like, you pass over yours, it's going to say one success, three threat.
Oh, it's
so
didn't.
Threats are kind of, yeah, so, like, threats are kind of small things that kind of bad might have happened. Hmm. Like, usually we could say, like, you know, like, for you, I'd say, like, because you're going around in your seat, you're really so nervous that you probably, you're stressing out a little bit. So I'd say you take one strain from that. So you're going to reduce one strain off your sheet, and then you just lost one strain. I'd say the same for Bail. We'll just say one strain for you. And then I didn't see Anarchy's roll because they all rolled at the same time. Sorry. I have all these windows open.
Anarchy has a failure and one advantage.
Okay, perfect. So because Anne rolled a success and Bail got a triumph even though he failed, I'm going to say this, that Anne, you notice that the cabanas seem way too orderly. Like, everything else seems like people were here, but they look brand new, like no one's ever touched them. And that's really odd to you. And Bail, as you're kind of wandering around not paying attention, you kind of trip over something And as you hit the ground, you look to your left and you can see, because now you're laying on the ground, that under all the chairs of those cabanas are explosives.
Oh, boy. So oh, boy.
So they're all rigged, ready to go if anyone was to sit in them.
Oh, anarchy, this is bad. This is really, really bad.
What did you do?
Look! And he points over at, like, the chairs. And he's like, he look under the chair.
Carefully.
Carefully. Just flip the chair over.
Fully about to flip it over until Anne says carefully, and I'm like, all right.
I was going to do that the whole time. So, yeah, you could see anarchy that, yeah, there are just pressure plate mine-style explosives on each seat. They're not like thermal detonators. Like someone rigged up maybe like frag grenades or small, almost homemade explosives to a majority of these seats that if you guys would have sat down, they probably would have exploded.
Well, that's rude. Huh.
Oh, so, boy.
That's there.
Anarchy.
Okay.
So seeing that we're kind of in a really, really, really weird situation, right? Mm-hmm. This mm-hmm. is an opportunity. How many of those do you think you could salvage with that great brain of yours?
How many, Dwayne?
I can have you roll a mechanics check. Remember, these are... You can look at them. They're poorly made, homemade explosives.
Might I recommend that if you're fond of any digits or other appendages that you appreciate being in possession of, that we not bother with trying to salvage these and figure out how to get an engine so that we can get the heck out of the crazy place where there are bodies coming out of an escape pod and just none of this seems good. Just saying.
But consider, somebody had to strap these bombs onto here,
exactly.
Which means we might run into some problems later.
And you feel so like you poorly made explosives are the solution to those problems we might run into later.
You're new around here.
Clearly.
You clearly haven't listened to the show, Jen. Poorly made explosives are the cause and solution of every problem.
I forgot.
But, like, actually.
If you are confident in your ability to do that without losing any of your self, then more power to you.
You know, what sort of a skill would it be?
It would be a mechanics check.
Mechanics check?
I don't know if there is a demolition skill. I don't remember the character.
I don't think there is a demolition skill.
So I would say it's probably because you're taking apart a contraption. I would say it's a mechanics skill.
I wanted to see how much of a blast these things can do. Mechanics, what would be the difficulty? Like,
I would say if you're just trying to say like gauge the explosive quality of it and not actually touch it or take it apart by using your experience, I would say that'd probably be like a knowledge warfare. I'd let you go with that because you have experience. We all know Bale has experience with explosives. So I would say if you want to do a knowledge warfare or a knowledge lore, even that, something along those lines, because you're not touching it, you're trying to evaluate it.
You know what? Can I use knowledge? Can I use the knowledge underworld because these look like they're improvised?
I'll say that. Yeah, why not? That kind of works. I would imagine the underworld would make improvised bombs. So
yeah,
I could. I'll let that go.
Okay,
it'd be like that.
And then, what's the difficulty?
You're just not touching them in any way. You're just kind of looking at them.
Nope, just looking at them.
I would say that's going to be hard. We'll say three purple. I'm going to give it one black because you're not actually touching them. You're just kind of eyeballing them. So it's going to be a little bit harder.
I want to disarm them.
All dice have canceled out.
The scary part is that the bombs probably want to disarm them, and that's the concerning part. Say that's the real problem.
Yeah, so
jokes on them. I'm not touching them with my arms.
Yeah, I'd say, Bale, you look at them, and you've never seen bombs made like this. This looks like non-professional, non-military. This is like someone who was just putting stuff together, and maybe you even think, maybe not all of these are going to explode.
Oh.
I don't know.
So, you know, after while looking at these don't look like they're anything that came out of the big leagues. So probably not worth anything. So let's just leave them as they are and just go about our way. But it looks like that they were ready to blow up a whole lot of people. So these chairs are all sitting down, right? Like they're all in rows. Like it's
yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So these chairs, what are they facing at? Like, what are they going to be looking at? Like people sitting they're on these chairs.
They're kind of like in a semicircle with a table in the middle, kind of all sort of directed towards the pool itself. But this is kind of where people would sit by themselves to kind of hang out, but still be able to, like, say, watch their kids swim in the pool while they're hanging out here having a mimosa.
Oh, okay. So they're literally like beach chairs.
They're like collapsible, foldable, like those lounging chase lounge.
Okay, because I thought like they were just gonna like blow up an entire crowd of people. It looks like they're just gonna like wait for somebody to sit on a damn chair and then it's gonna explode. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is kind of devious. Like, why would you have all these explosives strapped onto all of these chairs when anybody, literally anybody, could sit on top of one and it explode? Like, if they had a target, you know, well, this would make a lot more sense. But they don't have, this just seems like chaos. Terrorist activity? Is that what, is this what this is? Dwayne, are we like getting to the bottom of a terrorist attack?
So the part that seems, the part that seems concerning that if one of these goes off, then I would assume they would all get discovered. So what is the point of putting them under every chair if they're going to go off randomly? And after the first one goes off, what's the point of the rest? It's a lot of work for kind of a weird attack.
Exactly. You know, that doesn't make, you know what? So I'm going to take a closer look. Do they have like an antenna on them or anything like that? Something visible?
No, there's these, like I said, from your checks and stuff, you know, these are like landmines. It takes you sitting on it to go off. There's no radio. There's no antenna. There's no line or anything coming out of where someone has a remote control. They're completely designed that if you sit on these things or move these chairs too much, they're designed to explode. That they're very crude and very, very simple explosives.
Yeah, this.
I'd like to take one apart and see if we can get an idea of like what level of tech whoever put these here is working with.
Okay.
Or if they use any specific techniques that I could recognize.
Okay. So, disarming a mine, what would that be? Nothing in the module that's about this. I don't think they planned on you guys trying this. So, so we're already going off the rails here, which is always fun. Always before we're
done. There are no rails.
Yeah, we're already off. Sure, I will say, you're taking one bomb and you're going to try to isolate and shut it down. I'll say this is a very live and crude explosive. I'm going to say this is a 4 purple check. It's going to be 2 black because you've never seen anything like this and it's poorly made. And because I have these dark sides and I never use them, I'm going to use another one to upgrade it. So you got 1 red, 3 purple, 2 black against your mechanics check.
Okay. I'm going to use the one thing I have to remove 2 black.
And remember, you can flip a light side if you want to upgrade your roll as well, because you got 3 light side right now.
True. All right, no, I'm going to use the thing I have to remove 2 black from the check.
Sure. Is that a passive skill or a skill you can only use like once a session or whatever?
Once a session, yeah.
Okay, just checking.
All right, here we go.
Okay, so
2 threats and a triumph.
I'm going to say those 2 threats, I'm going to give you 1 strain just from trying to be bomb squad without the bomb squad vest on. Maybe it stressed you out just a little bit. And I'm willing to say that with the triumph, I'm going to say it didn't explode on you because it didn't fail, but you didn't succeed. But you know that right now these things are less than a frag grenade each. These are really simple, like, basic, like, it would probably wouldn't even kill a person. It would most likely take a huge chunk out of your butt or your leg when you sat on this chair. So not something to kill you, but it would definitely hurt you. But like I said, it's less than like half a frag grenade. So the effort that it would take, it may not be worth it because you'd have to roll on each one to get half a frag grenade, which is up to you, but I'm giving you it's
no
risk versus reward. So, okay. Are you guys going to move on from here?
Yeah, these are child's play. I don't want these.
Sure. As you make your way around the pool, you get closer to the jacuzzi side of it. And as you get close to that jacuzzi, the heat from it is ridiculously high. It's like, you know how hot a jacuzzi, and we've all been in one in Star Wars and in the real world. So imagine a jacuzzi turned up, we'll say about 2 or 3 times higher than what it should be. So if a jacuzzi is around 100 degrees, this water is probably around 200, 250 degrees. So it is bubbling and boiling, and there's another one of those beautiful smells in the air that kind of smells like, I don't know, like a seafood gumbo, you know? A really kind of, maybe like a seafood gumbo that someone brought to a picnic, and they brought it at 9 a.m., and now it's like 9 p.m., and you're smelling the gumbo. You're like, I wonder if this is still good. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. That kind of smells hovering in the air. And before you can see more of that jacuzzi, the hologram of that ridiculously handsome Zeltron Hemsworth appears again. This time, let's say maybe it's Liam this time. We had Chris on the ship. Now it's Liam. We're going to rotate between our Hemsworth here. And this time, Liam the Zeltron.
Welcome to the Celestin Mudbath Spa. Please sign in the desk to begin the most relaxing experience in the galaxy. Are you interested in a Mustafarian hot stone massage? Or perhaps you'd like to visit the Celestin Mudbaths for a detoxifying dip and cocktail?
And he kind of just goes away.
So Bale looks over at Anarchy and goes, Anarchy, I get the feeling that somebody's tried to sabotage this voyage and was probably more successful than they thought they were going to be.
Oh, really? After all of that, you've come to the conclusion that this may have been sabotaged. I'm so glad we got there.
Bale looks over at Anne. And at first, I thought it was a terrorist attack. But then, now that I see that all this stuff is happening, somebody was definitely trying to bring somebody's stocks down. So, on the galactic market.
So I want Anarchy. I need you to do a knowledge check for me.
Okay.
So when you heard them say Mustafarian hot stone massage, that's going to possibly trigger a memory for you. And something maybe you heard on, because we know Anarchy's a big fan of Space Discovery Planet. So maybe you watched something on these stones that might have triggered something for you. So I need you to do maybe like a knowledge lore, outer worlds, whatever you think would help you remember something about stones.
Cool.
It's going to be we'll say a 3 purple check.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool.
All right. So with that, hearing that Mustafarian, I said Mustafarian? Yeah. Mustafarian stone, you remember something very specific about Mustafar, its stones, and a very rare geological thing that can happen with those stones if they're prepared the wrong way. You know that certain rocks on Mustafar, when heated, very relaxing, pleasant smell that calm you down, beautiful, like potpourri. Everyone loves them. But there's another type of rock that they try to avoid that when heated up releases what's called Trillium gas. And Trillium gas is a known danger among miners on Mustafar because it's found deep in the surface of the planet and sometimes embeds itself in the rocks. Anyone exposed to Trillium gas immediately becomes either hyper-aggressive, completely delusional, or paranoid. Or sometimes a combination of all of these symptoms at once. There is no cure, and those infected will continue to act upon their symptoms, getting progressively worse until either they kill themselves or someone puts them out of their misery.
Really?
Cool. So this is when luxury spa activity goes bad. Fantastic.
Great. What's the name of that movie? Like 28 Days Later? We just entered 28 Days Later. All right. Cool. Bale does not know this.
I mean, I assume Anarchy might relay that information.
Yeah, I will relay this.
Yeah.
So as Anarchy's relaying this information, you guys are kind of moving, walking by, and you get closer to that jacuzzi, and you kind of look inside, and you realize that seafood gumbo you've been smelling are what is that race again? The fish people?
No, Mon Calamaris.
Mon Calamari. Yes, Mon Calamaris.
It was a trap.
There,
It's a trap!
There are two Mon Calamaris that are just floating in this 200-plus degree water, just simmering. I mean, they've been there for a while, so maybe the flesh is kind of pulled away from the bone a little bit. You know, if you're making a sandwich, I guess. I don't know what you eat. So that is what you kind of see.
Is there a nearby kitchen?
On this deck, no. There is a desk where you could check in to sign in for a spa with a wet bar near it.
Never mind. I was going to throw in whatever spices were in the kitchen to make it smell better, but that is moot now. We'll keep moving.
So as you guys kind of move away from the jacuzzi, you hear a motion behind you. And it's nothing ominous. It's just you hear someone walking with flip-flops. I'm sorry. I know you would get it. I wasn't sure if everyone else would get what a chonkla is. They're flip-flops. And you just hear that kind of flap, flap, flap kind of leisurely kind of walk, and you hear like a long sipping sound from an empty cup, that slurp where there's nothing left. You're trying to get that last couple of drops or something. You just hear someone flip-flopping behind you.
Turn around to see what is every now and then
I get a little bit
slowly I turn.
Sorry, Jen, as soon as you said turn around and
hey bright eyes, calm
total
down.
Eclipse of the heart.
That's something eerily similar to but legally distinct enough from that song start kicking on the radio.
Exactly. There's something like that, an instrumental version of that is being played over the PA system the whole time.
Anything that's public domain, it's fine.
Exactly. As long as I keep it under 29 seconds, we won't get sued. So you turn around and you see a Togruta, a man. He has a towel wrapped around his waist. He's got some sunglasses on, and he's got one of those crazy, like if you've ever been to like the Las Vegas, those really tall beer flutes that they have that ridiculously big. He's just kind of carrying one of those, sipping it. And he's just walking like away from you guys towards the far end.
Why do
I
feel like this guy has been just enjoying his vacation and has been delightfully drunk enough to have no idea the chaos that has been going on around him? And that kind of delights me and also terrifies me a little bit. oh, sir. And I'm not even going to stop to see if either of you care. I'm just, oh, sir.
Yeah, he just kind of stops, turns, and he looks at you, and he has a smile on his face that is like the biggest smile you've ever seen, almost like a painfully big smile. He's all
mojito, just trying to get myself a mojito, a little rum, a little lime, a little sugar cane, a little sugar cane, some mint, slap that mint. Oh, hey, what are you guys doing up here?
Hey, we're up here. What are you doing up here?
I was just getting another mojito. And then, you know, checking out everything. Oh, yeah. I would not go in that jacuzzi. Those dudes, oh, they've been in there for a while. It's going to be like all cesspool-y. I hope they got a good cycling cleaning thingy in there. Yeah, and me, man, they've been in there like a day. And me, yeah, I'm Mojito Mo. Yeah, I've been trying to make that stick. Mojito Mo. I've been waiting my turn. Yeah, yeah, and these guys, yeah, they ain't getting out. That's so rude. I've been looking for like a, like a cabana boy or like, like a janitor or like an attendant, but there's like no one up here.
Yeah, I'm going to have to ask for my money back when I, you know, it's just been a really rough ride. So how long have you been on the ship?
Yeah, what is time? I like, is time? Time isn't even real, you know?
Right.
Of course, it's this guy. Well.
Oh my god.
What is time? That's a good question. Are you having a good time? Speaking of time.
I just finished my drink. So I was going up to the cantina on deck. What was it? Like 8? Or was it like 9? 8 or 9. Yeah. Either way, they make a killer mojito down there. Mojito! You want a mojito? I want a mojito.
So who else is around?
Wait. I haven't really seen anyone down here. Like, it's been a while. I've been just drinking my drink, listening to my tunes, relaxing. I'm on vacation. And guess what I've been drinking? Can you guess? Can you guess? Mojito! Mojitos!
And excuse me if I could, you know, interject and ask a question, but how long have you been here?
I don't know. Days? Weeks? How many cycles? I ain't keeping track because I'm on vacation and drinking mojitos! Mojitos!
And you haven't noticed that the folks sitting in that pool over there probably haven't been moving for quite a while. And do you realize that they're cooked inside there?
Like, when you're done being dead, I just assumed they'd get out. You know, they just shamble on out.
What?
What?
Do you know how dead works? Oh.
Do you know how dead works?
I mean, not entirely, but she does.
Well, does that?
I point very boldly at Anarchy. She does. She knows all about it.
It's okay. It's okay. I speak tourist. I'm going to pull out a pair of sunglasses and layer them over my mask. Saunter up to this fellow and be like, I think it's so rude that they're just hanging in there and aren't going to get out. You know, the best way to deal with folks like that is not to let them crash your vibe and go find better vibes elsewhere.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm going down to the cantina and get a fill-up from the Mojito Express with the Z. Mojito! Maybe catch a show. Maybe try my luck at some sabacc. I really love me some sabacc. I'm so lucky. All right, mojito. Awesome! Mojito! Mojito!
Mind if we join you?
Yeah, we've had we have maybe too many mojitos, so we're not really too sure of what the way back there is. If you could show us.
Awesome!
That'd be tubular.
All right, let's get on the Mojito Express with a Z and go. The fastest way down is through the rock climbing wall. Yeah, because like 3 days ago or so, someone cut the elevators. And then the elevators are way down on the bottom. Oh, and the stairs? Oh, the stairs have been like on fire for like 2 days.
Of course. Yeah, let's scale the rock climbing wall. That sounds fantastic.
So, yeah, mm-hmm. Sure. No problems. All right, hold my drink. I'm going to show you how to do it. Well, I could probably do it one-handed with my mojito. All right, okay, I'm going to try it. All right, I'm going to go show you how to do it, and we'll meet down and at the Mojito Express.
So,
and he go.
Oh, go ahead.
I don't know, you're going to say something.
Okay, so we're literally in the aftermath of Battle Royale.
So is there any indication on this guy that he is under the influence of anything other than his good time and his mojitos,
other than him with a big grin on his face and not seeming to care about two dead bodies?
Yeah, well, that's really
the elevators have been cut into
really
fire.
Unsettling, and like I'm concerned that he's under the influence of something else, but that's fine. Let's roll with it. Let's see what happens. This will be great.
Yeah, this dude's like Mr. Magoo. Like,
I know, right?
Like seriously, like he's walking, like completely oblivious to what's going on around him. Like he was about to take an elevator, and then like the door shut. There's like four people in the elevator. Somebody cuts the line, and you're like, oh, well, I guess I'm gonna take the stairs.
So oh, those are on fire. Luckily, like... I enjoy rock climbing.
He trips and falls and rolls down all the stairs, and then, you know, like miraculously hops over the fire towards the bottom. Like, whoa, that really hurt. Let me go get a mojito. It's like, what the fuck, man?
Can I do a medicine check to see if I detect any of the classic signs of that gas poisoning?
Sure. Do a medicine check. Just 2 purple. It's not, I mean, you know the symptoms. You've read up on it, so you kind of know what you're looking for.
Oh, nope. Just 2 advantages.
Okay. So
I have strong suspicions, but no confirmation.
You know, he's either maybe under the influence of the gas, or maybe he's just really drunk on mojitos. He's definitely not acting normal, but you can't be certain.
So, I would assume that a xenology roll of 3 difficulty would be enough to know if, like, Togrudas are just naturally,
like, happy people?
Naturally, like, maybe immune to, like, gas-like effects, or maybe they have, like, some sort of internal, like air filter, you know, that just cleans out the air for them.
You would know that. No, they don't have anything like that. They have no, that you know of, poison immunity or anything like that. So that if this guy has been on this ship breathing the air that he's probably been breathing, because he's an air-breathing species, he's probably been infected with this stuff, and he's just showing these symptoms in a different way.
Okay. So, Anarchy, you might want to... So, from what I understand, and from my limited knowledge of... xenology. I don't think that Togrudas have any sort of like innate ability to, you know, like filter the air before they breathe it or anything like that. So he's probably just really, really, really chilled out on whatever's blowing through the air right now.
Oh yeah.
So the Togruda gets over towards the rock climbing wall and he goes to the control panel, and you see him touch a few buttons. And, you know, maybe you guys know about the 0G rock climbing where they can adjust the gravity and stuff like that.
Yeah. So
he's trying to maybe making it easier, whatever.
Put it
you see
on
the straps kind of move. He pushes some buttons, and says,
"And I'll meet you guys all the way down, and we'll get some drinks down there."
Down there, he hands you his drink and just leans over the edge. And you see in a blink that he is ripped from the ground and flung 50 feet straight down, slamming a kersploosh onto the ground below in a nice little open arm angle. And yeah, blood slowly drips from his body as he lays there.
So I'm upset that we didn't even ask his name, which I was planning to do. That's unfortunate. So who's next for the rock climbing wall?
I will pour out the mojito in remembrance.
Yeah.
Pour one out for.
Thanks for listening to the Flight Risk Podcast. If you liked what you heard, please head over to the podcast service of your choice and leave us a review. Every review helps more people find the show. If you want to help the show out, please spread the word on social media. You can find us on Twitter at Flight Risk Pod and on Facebook. If you want to help us in a monetary fashion, you can head over to Patreon and help support the show.
Okay, cool. We're all good.
Awesome, okay. I'll start with the preamble that I already sent you guys, and then we'll jump into everyone telling their story.
I didn't even read it. I'm so sorry.
I am not surprised by your lack of professionality, Joe. This is 3 years. I'm not surprised at all.
Oh, fuck it. I'll just wing it. That's what I always do. I just wing it.